Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to DSM's conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference, please press 00 on your push-button phone. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Dave Housing. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this morning's conference call and making yourself available on such short notice. Sitting here with me are Mr. Feike Sijbesma, CEO and Chairman of the DSM Managing Board, and Mrs. Geraldine Matchett, CFO and Member of the DSM Managing Board. Geraldine will elucidate on this morning's announcement, and after that, she and Feike will answer your questions. As a reminder, I'm obliged to say that today's call can contain forward-looking statements. In that regard, I would like to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. With that said, let me pass on to Geraldine. Geraldine, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dave. Sorry. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this call relating to the press release that we issued earlier today. As you will remember, DSM has been mentioning already since mid-2012 its desire to reduce exposure to the merchant markets of caprolactam. And during our Capital Markets Day last November, we highlighted our intention to strongly pursue strategic actions, which could include partial or complete divestments, for three of our businesses: caprolactam, acrylonitrile, and composite resins. Well, we are happy to announce today that these decisive steps have now been taken. Through the creation of a new co with CVC, we will be able to meet all of our objectives: further reduce the cyclicality of our portfolio of activities, deliver upfront financial returns for these businesses while retaining some upside, guarantee for 15 years favorable terms for the vast majority of the caprolactam needs, thereby effectively maintaining the backward integration of our DSM Engineering Plastics business, and finally, and importantly, for all three businesses, acrylonitrile, caprolactam, and composite resin, find a safe home for their future. This deal is clearly a decisive step, enabling us going forward to fully focus on our nutrition and performance material businesses, including all measures we are taking to improve their performance. Now, looking at the deal structure, all of the information is, of course, in the press release. A new company will be incorporated, of which CVC will own 65% and DSM 35%. This new co will own the DSM caprolactam, acrylonitrile, and composite resins businesses, including the joint ventures in China. NewCo will operate as an independent company under the leadership of CVC. All the 1,950 employees, including management, will transfer to NewCo, and closing is expected in Q3. In terms of the financials, based on the 2014 figures, these three businesses to be transferred accounted for 2.1 billion of third-party sales and 106 million in EBITDA, that is net of non-controlling interests of 19 million. Also, indirectly included in the scope of the businesses transferred is a 65% stake in a service company called Cytec Services. This company is partially owned today by the caprolactam and acrylonitrile businesses located at the Chemelot site in Geleen. DSM will remain a minority shareholder of this company with a 5% stake linked to our engineering plastic operations on the site. The enterprise value for the transaction is 600 million plus an earnout of up to 175 million euros. Based on the EBITDA generated by these businesses in 2014 of 106 million euro, this represents an EBITDA multiple that ranges from 5.7 to 7.3, depending on the achievement of the earnout. We believe that this is a good multiple for DSM that will fairly reflect market conditions. In addition, taking a closer look at the EBITDA results, it's important to highlight that the 106 million in 2014 included 27 million related to license income, of which roughly half is linked to a specific contract that will not reoccur after 2015. And it also included $19 million of EBITDA from this SciTech services company, the majority of which is usually reinvested in the Camelot site. The transaction is estimated to result in an initial cash proceeds for DSM of roughly $300 to $350 at closing, which will be used to reduce net debt. This estimated initial cash amount is based on the enterprise value of $600 million, less the usual cash adjustment for normalized working capital and debt-like items, the equity reinvestment in the NewCo for our 35% stake, and the bridge loan of $100 million, which DSM is providing. Finally, restated figures for 2014 will be provided in due course. You can find an indicative pro forma impact on our 2014 P&L already today in our investor presentation on slide 12. For 2015, the businesses within the scope of this transaction will be shown as assets held for sale. As a result, an initial book loss of approximately $130 million, that is after tax, non-controlling interest and movements in reserves, will be taken in Q1 on the usual fair value less cost to sell basis. On this subject, please remember that we took an impairment of 186 million euros in Q3 2014 for the caprolactam business. This was the result of the normal end-of-year impairment test based on a value-in-use method. So when looking at the book loss generated by this transaction, please realize that there's a difference in methodology, there's a difference in timing, as well as the impact of the value of the caprolactam business due to the drawing rights we have secured for our engineering plastics business. And on this, I open the floor for any questions. Operator.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like to ask a question or have a remark, please press star one now. Our first question is from Mr. James Knight from Exane BNP Paribas. Go ahead, sir.
Morning. I'll start with a couple of questions. Firstly, can you say if there's any put option or any formal agreement on timing of exit of the remaining 35% stake, or whether we should even assume that that's the scheme here? And secondly, in terms of the ongoing contracts for Capro, the favourable terms, is that a discount to spot or fixed contracts, of some qualitative colour around exactly what favourable means? Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. No, there is no put option or timing agreed, but obviously CVC will not be the long-term holder of this business, and the time period they hold the business varies if you look to other investments they have done, and there's no put or call options with DSM. On caprolactam, maybe Geraldine, you can...
Yeah, sure. So as I mentioned, these are based on drawing rights. Now, as you can understand, we can't disclose the contractual details of those drawing rights. However, they clearly are very valuable, as they will enable our engineering plastic business to source the caprolactam it needs at pretty much very similar conditions than it had in the past. And therefore, it secures our competitive position in that space, and that's why we refer to a virtual backward integration.
So for 15 years, we remain virtually backward integrated as today, and remain with our full competitiveness in our engineering plastics as it is today. So with that, no change.
Just to follow up on that, I've always understood that engineering plastics paid a cost-plus price for Capro. Am I right in remembering that?
There are different setups depending on the geographies. As I said, we won't go into the details, but the way that it's been handled in the past was different in Europe, North America, and China. These differences remain going forward, but what's really important is that, broadly speaking, we will be on a similar basis going forward as we were in the past.
Understood. Thank you.
You can assume that we are from engineering plastics virtually backward integrated.
Gotcha. Thank you very much.
Competitiveness as our competitors have.
Our next question is from Mr. Rakesh Patel from Goldman Sachs. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. Just a couple of questions, slightly drawing on, again, the supply agreement. Can you tell us at least whether you have any volume commitments that you're required to purchase or take from the NewCo for engineering plastics, i.e. do you have to take a minimum amount each year? And then secondly, can you talk about how much debt was in PI or that is going to be transferred or deconsolidated from your accounts roughly? That would be great. Thanks very much.
Okay. There is a certain flexibility in the supply contract, and it is linked, obviously, to our needs of Cape Latam. In that sense, there is no concern that we have to offtake a certain volume, which brings us in whatever situation into problems, if that is your question. There's a flexibility in there, and it's connected to our needs. On the debt,
we'll provide full restated 2014 accounts, but we don't provide a split balance sheet per business unit anyway. So I'm afraid we won't, give that split today.
Okay. Thanks very much.
The following question is from Mr. Neil Tyler from Redburn. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Two questions, please. Firstly, it's my understanding that there's some tax loss carry-forwards associated with the polymer intermediates business. Could you just clarify who retains the benefit of those, if you could help me with that? Thank you. And secondly, the impact of excluding these operations on your assessment of the FX impact on the group. So if you strip out these businesses, can you give us a sort of update of where that puts you in terms of currency impact this year? Thank you.
Okay. Tax losses, as you can imagine, a lot of this transaction is linked to specific legal entities. Therefore, the associated tax losses are retained within those legal entities. I mean, the net impact in terms of deferred tax will as well be reflected on the restatement. As for the FX, this business was really split over three main geographies. So you have Europe, North America, and China. The dynamics are pretty similar to the ones that we've described in the past. Therefore, on the US dollar, there was an upside on the consolidated euro figures, and the RMB is also obviously strengthened versus the consolidated euro. So the exact impact on our currency mix, I don't have at hand today.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it should be broadly aligned, but
Okay, thank you.
The following question is from Mr. Jaideep Pandya from Bloomberg. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. First question is just, looking ahead now into the the DSMX, these assets. You're going to lose roughly 10% of your workforce, but about 20% of your sales. So should we expect further restructuring announcements following, separation of these assets now from the core of DSM? That's the first question. And then the second question is just on the relationship that where you're mentioning 15-year agreement. So if CVC does decide to sell this business in 5 years' time, do you have sort of contractual locked that this 15-year take or pay, which you have, or contract for buying caprolactam, which you have, remains intact, or that is then renegotiated again? Just want to understand competitiveness that you mentioned, how secure it is for 15 years if this business is sold in the future. Thank you.
For the time being, several surface level agreements which DSM has to service this business will remain in place, and over time they might be altered and changed. And indeed, connected to that, you might see some further adjustments on our side, as announced on your first question. The second thing, indeed, the whole Cape Lactam supply situation is guaranteed for 15 years, whoever is the owner. So if CFC divests, this contract will go to the new owner.
And just one follow-up on the debt, on the bridge loan side. So the 300 to 350 cash proceeds is sort of net. So that also, after deducting the 100 million loan, that is the net you get, right?
That is correct. Yeah, it's minus this 100. It's already net.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, and congrats.
The next question is from Mr. Mutlu Gundogan from ABN AMRO. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. Three questions. First is on your partners in China. I was just wondering what will happen to the 40% stake in DNCC. Does that change in any way? And then a second question for Geraldine. Why do you expect this decline in licensing income after 2015? And then thirdly, could you provide us an impact on the effective tax rate, or could you at least reiterate the guidance you have on the tax rate of 18% going forward? Thanks.
The 40% in China will remain owned by Sinopec as it is today, and the 60% share we have in the Chinese venture will go to NewCo, which is then 65% CVC and 35% us. So no changes there. And Geraldine,
yeah.
On the...
So the licensing income is made up of various different elements, and about half of the income that was recorded in 2014 relates to initial stages of one given contract. Those initial stages took 3 years and will end at the end of 2015. So it was already known that this would drop down to the mid-teens going from 2016 onwards. So that's why my statements regarding the license income. And as for the effective tax rate, again, this will be clarified when we provide the fully restated accounts for 2014.
Okay. Maybe a quick follow-up, forgot to ask, but could you give us an update on your view on the Caprolactam market? Just wondering how you see global utilization develop in the coming years.
Yeah, we are not going to give you an update at this moment on that one. But I think you all know the situation with Caprolactam. That is also the reason why we made the strategic moves and strategic statements as we made. And I think with this, we deliver on that. And Geraldine indicated a part of the income in Caprolactam is coming from the licenses, as she indicated. And with that, I think you all know the situation in Caprolactam.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Martin Rudinger from Kepler Cheuvreux. Go ahead, please.
Thanks. Three questions also on my side. First, a clarification question. The enterprise value of the transaction of 600 million, this is for the 65% stake, correct? The second is on DNA charges. Can you tell us how much DNA is getting out of your portfolio after this disposal? And finally, the 100 million bridge loan you provide to CVC, what is the interest rate for that loan?
Yeah. Let me be clear. The total enterprise value of the transaction, that is on a 100% basis, is the 600 million plus the 175 earnout. For that amount, we divest an EBITDA of 106 million euros, of which partly the 106 million is coming from the SciTech services, as Geraldine indicated, and the license income, as Geraldine also indicated. So we divest 106 million euro EBITDA, which Geraldine indicated, and we get for that a 600 up to 175 additional earnout. And you indicated, and Geraldine indicated, the bridge loan is there, and the 35% stake is there, and with all those calculations and cash and debt calculation, you come to the net proceeds at closing, not the final proceeds, because that includes the 35%. With that deal, I think we come to a multiple of like Geraldine indicated, 5.7, 7.3, 5.7 at the minimum, 7.3 at the maximum if you calculate the 600 plus 175. On top of that, on top of the earnout, there could be another plus if at the end of the day, our stake in the 35% turns out over time to have a higher value, which we hope, because likewise, CVC hopes also to make money with that and to have a high return on that one also. And together with that, there could be another upside in there, but that is speculation towards the future, and we don't do here. We only calculate with what we have right here. I hope that clarifies, because I saw some notes in the morning with some confusion on what is the exact EBITDA we sell. That is 106, with the things included, as I said, for the amount and the total enterprise value, which I indicated, including the further upsides of that. With the DNA, I indicated already the SLAs of the company, and
Okay, just maybe on your two other questions.
Okay.
So depreciation, amortization, again, this will be provided with the four restated numbers. And the bridge loan, we obviously won't give details, but the initial interest rate is close to our WACC.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question is from Mr. Declan Morrissey from Davy Research. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Two questions, please. First question, just wondering what the divestment does to your CapEx plans for 2015. I know that CapEx in the Polymer Intermediates division had been running above group levels in past years. And secondly, just the same effect on working capital. I don't recall if working capital for Polymer Intermediates was above or below the group level for as a percentage of sales. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for those questions. If you remember, we guided to broadly about 600 million of CapEx for 2015, all inclusive. Now, obviously, this divestment takes part, you know, will actually close somewhere in Q3. So a big part of the CapEx that related to these operations will have taken place by then, as we will be transferring, you know, running operations and ongoing investments need to be completed. However, if you wanted a revised guidance for the continuing operations, this would have been about 500 million out of the 600, to give you a bit of color. Now, when it comes to operating working capital, these operations are actually comparatively not the troublesome areas for our group. In fact, due to the nature of what they are not particularly working capital heavy. So it is likely that overall post-divestment, our working capital as a percentage of sales will go up somewhat.
And just one follow-up, do you expect to get a dividend it'll probably be 2016?
From the NewCo?
From the NewCo.
Oh, this has not been established as yet.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Joseph Dewhurst from UBS. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I've got just a couple of questions. Just the first question on slide 4, with now sort of indicating that you'll have the improved real focus now on nutrition and operations improvement in performance materials. Does that mean that we're going to get maybe a lot more clarity on what you plan to do there? Is maybe there an acceleration of the operations improvement there, now that that's becoming core? And then just on a timetable basis, when do you think we'll get the full restated figures? Thank you.
Totally focused on nutrition and performance materials, correct, with this pretty decisive step on further optimizing our portfolio and taking a distance towards the more cyclical and volatile part of the business. And as you know, we are running improvement programs both in our nutrition business and addressing the issues we have encountered over the last year, as well as for the whole group. And of course, we will update you further on that in the course of this year. But indeed, as you indicated, we are fully focused on improving the performances of these two businesses with clear programs. On the restatement,
restatement, we are aiming to release that with our Q1 results, barring any issues, but that's the intention.
Thank you very much.
Registration is already included.
Yeah, oh yeah, and there's a pro forma already, an indicative set of numbers on slide 12 in the analyst presentation, the investor. But that's
yes.
Just the one table.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
The next question is from Mr. Andrew Benson from Citibank. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks very much. I'm probably being a little bit slow here, but on the enterprise value of $600 million, you're going to own 35% of the resultant business, so you're selling 65%. So for like the EV attributable to you, the 65% you're selling is €390 million. If my understanding is correct, and then you talk about net cash proceeds of 300-350 net of the €100 million loan. So in other words, pre-loan, you expect to receive net cash of €400-450 million. I was wondering, I'm probably getting my sums wrong here, if you could explain, perhaps in a little bit more granularity, the structure of the EV and how you get to that net cash proceeds. And then the earn out 175%, presumably that's not on a pro rata basis, that is 100% that could go to you. And perhaps if you could just define the conditions that need to be met that would deliver that earn out. Thanks.
Okay. Just to clarify, your understanding is correct. So the $600 million is on a 100% basis. So if you take 65, that's 390. Now, as you can imagine, that is the EV. It's not the purchase price. There's a number of moving parts in the middle there, which is why we give a pretty broad range of 300 to 350 for the initial cash proceeds on that part of the transaction. Now, you're absolutely right that the earnout is an additional consideration for the 65% part. So that would be coming on top. Now, the exact terms that will crystallize the earnouts we do not disclose, but of course, it's linked to the future performance of the business going forward.
But I didn't quite understand. You're lending them $100 million, so you're. It looks like your gross cash proceeds are $400 to $450 million, or are you getting $300 to $350 million in cash, and then out of that you loan them $100 million, so it's going to be $200 to $250 million. Can you just clarify that?
I'm afraid you don't have all the pieces of the puzzle in order to do the maths, we do not disclose the amount of funding that's going into the call.
Yeah, basically, your calculation is correct. You take $600 million, you take the 65%, like Geraldine said, is, what is it,
390.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, with cash proceeds at closing, you deduct $100 million loan, and then you correct for all kinds of other debt and cash items, because you do all these business at a cash and debt-free basis. And that, of course, you cannot calculate. Therefore, we calculated it for you, or Geraldine did. And then you come at the 300, 350. And on top of that, for us, you have the 175 million earnout. And on top of that, yeah, we need to see what is the value of our 35% stake at the end of the day. I assume CVC is in there to make money as well ourselves. I hope that clarifies. Or
yeah, no, that's fine. Thanks.
Okay.
The next question is from Mr. Sachin Soni from Kempen & Co. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone. My question is regarding the process itself. If you compare it to past divestments, do you think you were kind of forced to sell it at this price like you had to do for base chemicals when end markets were not so great for the business? Or do you think this is an optimal outcome and this is the best that could be done? I'm a little confused. Where was the sentiment there, or was it a competitive thing that were other strategic parties approached? So that's
okay. Clear question. You should not be confused. At least I hope not. Listen, let's have a look to the business. It is a 106 million EBITDA which it generates, Geraldine indicated. And Geraldine indicated also that 106 million is partly coming from our SciTech service provider, which is, of course, not a, a cash-generating unit because it reinvested its EBITDA also into the services. And a part of the 106 million is the license income. So you all know the situation in the different businesses, especially in Caplectum. I don't want to elucidate that further. That is the business which we have. Now, then you see the enterprise value 600 plus 175, having an EBITDA multiple roughly between 6 and 7 in the context as I just described, then I think this is a good deal for DSM strategically because it fits totally with our strategy, but also financially. If I do the math, and you can do that together with me. On top of that, there is an upside because CVC is in here to make money on our 35% share. So I think this is good for CVC. They are in here to make money, and we remain partly involved. This is good for our employees. They can be put in a different context in a setting where they can grow again, where we do not want to allocate more money at. And it is, I think, a very good deal strategically and financially for DSM. So any enforced sale, no, we also said that before. We want to pursue strategic actions here. Basically, we started already mentioning that in 2012, more specific in Q4 2014. But we indicated also only when we get a fair and good deal. And I think it is a fair deal for CVC, fair deal for DSM.
Okay, and one follow-up question on forward-looking guidance. So the original guidance was growing a bit slightly higher than full year 14. Where do we stand with that? Does that change at all, or do you still stick to that?
Yes, thank you for the question. The best way of looking at it is that we stay with our outlook that for the continuing operations, we aim to deliver an EBITDA slightly above 2014. For the discontinued operations, we will stop issuing guidance.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
The next question is from Mr. Patrick Lambert from Nomura. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Two quick questions. The first one on composite resins, if I do the math correctly, it's about 20 million EBITDA contribution. Is that correct? And second, on the earn-out, is it possible, though, to get a bit more details on the timing of that potential income? And again, to make sure, the 175 is for the whole NewCo or just for the 35% of DSM? Thanks.
Okay. Composite resins, I'm afraid your number is not correct. It is lower than that, but we don't provide the split. Then in terms of the earn-out, you were asking for timing, I believe. Huh? The timing is honestly not set at this time. It's still very early days, but it will be triggered at some sort of exit in the future. And the third question...
It's a split for the 175.
The earnout is an upside for DSM, indeed.
The whole 175?
Yes.
So it's linked to the 65.
Yeah, it's a 65%, not the 100% basis. Sorry if that was the question.
Patrick?
I wanted to introduce the next question. I thought Mr. Lambert was finished.
Yeah, next question.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Mr. Andrew Stott from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I'll start with, again, the sort of concept of exit. Feike, you said right at the beginning in an answer to the first question that, or you certainly hinted that the exit for you is when CVC exit. Are you 100% ruling out selling either the entire 35% stake or less to CVC? That's the first question. The second question was more modeling. I know you said, Geraldine, you're going to give some numbers with the Q1, but I'm getting to a D&A number of about 70 million. I just wonder if you can confirm that sort of broadly ballpark. And then the 325 or so of cash that you get in, what can you do with that technically? Have you got some short-term paper you can retire, or is there a bond outstanding? I just wonder if you could tell me what interest cost savings you can make. Thanks.
Okay, Geraldine will take the second two and I take the first one. No, I don't want to hint, but indeed, if CVC exits, of course, it's a logical that we exit at the same moment. And of course, there are arrangements, although there are no put and call options. But of course, that is a logical step that you go together at that moment in time. I do not rule out that we can step out earlier, but there are no specific arrangements made between us and CVC. So, but in theory, I don't rule out anything. We need to see over time. But listen, it is very clear that CVC is in here to make a financial upside on their 65%, and we hope to make at the same moment an upside on our 35%. That's the whole setup.
Okay.
But I do not rule out anything.
Okay, so now it's clear. Thank you.
Yeah. From the DNA, listen, we'll provide that with the restated accounts.
Is the 70 million a long way off?
As I said, I will provide it with a restated account, so I think it's better that way. As for the cash use, there's different ways of handling it. Of course, short-term, we can reduce the short-term borrowing. As you know, the cost of money these days is very low, so that doesn't particularly help our interest cost. Now, we are also in a year where we are refinancing our long-term borrowing positions. So obviously this will be factored in when it comes to the amounts of refinancing long-term that we put in place.
Okay, then we have time left for one last question. So who's going to get the last question?
The last question is for Mr. Jaideep Pandya from Berenberg again. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the follow-up. The question is basically on your portfolio sort of moving forward. Do I understand this correctly now that you will basically after this deal not be involved in any major M&A, i.e. divestment or major acquisition? And then just second quick follow-up really is, in case there is a major restructuring needed in the new co, how do we think about cash out with regards to that? Do you think that CVC will mainly raise debt to finance that, or will there be a drain on DSM's cash flow if there is a big restructuring needed in the new co? Thank you.
No, there is no intention, the last question, to put more equity in it. So the new co has to pay it out of our own cash proceeds or extraordinary cases, as you indicated, debt raising. But no new equity into that. The first question, indeed, no big M&A nor divestments nor acquisitions on the roll right now. To the future, of course, I do not rule out acquisitions, but not at this moment and not in the course of this year, so I don't know. Of course, next year we need to see again. At this moment, we fully focus on increasing the performance of our nutrition and performance of this business.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to the end of this call. Maybe, Geraldine, you can say some closing words.
Yes, sure. Thank you very much all for participating in this call. To wrap up, as we have said, this deal is really a decisive step for DSM in line with our strategy, which is mainly to reduce the cyclicality in our portfolio while maintaining effectively the backward integration of our engineering plastics business. So a double win. The deal is favorable for all our stakeholders. And going forward, as Feike just mentioned, our focus will be solely on nutrition and performance material operational performance.
Okay, and with that we conclude today's call. Thank you for listening in, especially on such a short notice. Any additional questions, please reach out to Investor Relations. We're there to help you. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the DSM analyst call. Thank you for attending. You can disconnect your line now.